All right. Welcome back. This is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries, and we're still on for another hour, and we're glad you've joined us. I'm Pastor Marcia, and that was Nathan Burton, worship leader at Beacon of Hope, that was with us on the first hour. And Betty, you are you and Pastor Jim handle those prayer requests we just were talking about. People can use our prayer line, prayers at bohmglobal.com. And Nathan said he was excited about this new year. Do you want to comment on that? Are you excited about this new year, Betty, my friend?
Oh, yes, 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 yes. I tell you, we have, you know, just in the last 3 or 4 days of the year, God is doing a new thing.
Yes.
He's come to give us life and give it more abundantly.
Amen.
And this is going to be the year of expectations.
Yes.
It's going to be a year of growth for this ministry and other ministries included. There's going to be miraculous things that we haven't seen for years come through, transpire. People are going to thrive.
Amen.
They are going to be lifted up above their circumstances. Ministries are going to overflow abundantly with finances and with salvations. It's time that we rise up and become the body of Christ that the Lord wants us to be. And that means putting aside the past.
Yes.
And let's grow into this new year with come filled with expectations of abundance for this ministry and for everyone that is a child of God.
Amen.
His hand is so ready to pull us out and pull us up, and it may seem like it may seem like devastation to you right now, but like Moses did, God has a plan for you.
Amen.
And he has a plan for me, and he has a plan for you, Pastor Marcia McAllister.
I agree.
And PJ and all of the wonderful people of Beacon of Hope, good things are coming.
Amen.
And, I wish I could be down there to celebrate with you, but, you know, good things are happening in Indiana.
Amen.
Too.
Absolutely.
God, there is no distance between, between us. God's willing, ready, and able. We just got to give him the chance, the opportunity, and have the faith to step out and say, God, here I am. Use me.
Yes, amen. And we are just so thankful that there is no distance in the spirit, and there's no distance with technology these days, and that we can be right here in the studio in Clearwater, Florida, and this can be heard around the world. And people can go to our website, bohmglobal.com, and listen to all the old shows. We got caught up this week, and we're current with all the old shows, so there's close to 400, probably 300 and something shows on our website, www.bohmglobal.com, for you to learn the word, shows just like this that will really bless you and help you. And we've got a new show on Thursday nights. And before we go to this next song, I want to just invite you all to listen on Thursday nights during our drive time hour here at the station. And it begins, our show begins at 6:06 p.m. and goes till 7. It's called Go Yard, and that means hit a home run. And that is with me and with the PhD, licensed mental health counselor in our ministry, Dr. Angel Falzone. And Betty, you can just quickly say a word for that if you'd like to invite our audience to listen to Go Yard on Thursday nights.
Yes, and they have such unique ways of presenting answers to your questions and your problems.
Yeah.
It's like smart goals, smart things.
that was last Thursday, yeah, on New Year's.
Last Thursday.
And New Year's Day.
It's free counseling.
It is. Yeah.
It's coaching, it's teaching, it's helping us to step out and realize that, hey, they're talking about me.
Right.
I recommend that you tune in on Thursdays and listen and be blessed. Be blessed by what they have to say, because it's helped me, and it's helped from the people that I've talked to and you've talked to, people that normally wouldn't listen to, any other radio broadcast. it's reaching out,
it is
pulling people in, and it's a blessing. It is a total blessing for
it
both
is.
You and Dr. Falzone.
And your daughter Megan created our website, and it is goyard2014.org. Goyard2014.org. You can go there at any time. And now we have all of our previous shows. We just started this ministry, this Thursday night ministry, Go Yard, in September. So all the shows we've done so far are up there now. And so we welcome you to go there and listen to them. Betty, we're talking today about how God chooses us. He's got a plan for our lives, and it feeds in perfectly to the next song I want to do. And then we'll go on in the book of Exodus. If you've just joined us, we're in kind of Exodus 2 and maybe 3, just running around. This song is by Hillsong, and it's one of my favorites, Chosen is Mine.
Here I am, so close to you. Know my voice, I'll never leave you. For I have loved you since before sands of time were made. I love you still, and always will. You're chosen as mine. My Father wants to bless you now. Receive from Him all that you'll never need. Come spend eternity with me. My heart's full of love for you. I love you still, and always will. You're chosen as mine. Cries in the desert, my child, I hear them. Tears in the valley, my lovely, I count them. You're so precious, you were on my mind as I died. I love you still, and always will. You're chosen as mine. Oh, yeah. Cries in the desert, my child, I hear it. Tears in the valley, my lovely, I count them.
Praise God. Ooh. Dear one, you're on God's mind. God's got a plan for your life, and He has not forgotten you. You may be going through storms. You may be going through health issues. You may be going through all kinds of desperate things, but God has not forgotten you. You are on His mind, and you have been chosen as His. Are you going to step up to the plate in this new year and really walk with Him and live up to your potential and what he has for you. And I think, Betty, that's the question as we study this life of baby Moses. You know, for the first 40 years of Moses' life, he lived in the palace. He lived as the grandson of the king. An adopted grandson, but still, he was acknowledged as royalty. And life was pretty darn good for him, wasn't it?
Yeah. It makes you think that if Moses lived in the palace with the Pharaoh and his daughter, that we, when we accept Jesus as our Savior, we become a king's kid.
Oh, we do. Amen.
We become a child of the risen king.
Yeah.
We become a child of the risen Lord. And I think that it gives Moses a chance to say, to see where he was, where he came from, what happened to him, and how God protected him.
Yeah.
How God pulled him out of the river.
Yeah. And his name means that, drawn out.
Yeah,
you know?
He pulled him out, and that's the cool thing about it is that when he would look back, and you know he would, as he began to talk to God, and you know revelation was given to him. I've always loved Moses because I was always that character in children's church. He was such a humble guy.
Yeah,
he was so humble. He was so willing to do whatever God wanted him
Amen.
To do.
Amen.
And that's what we have to do today, Pastor, is like what you were talking about, is step up.
Yeah, yeah.
Be who God wants you to be.
Amen.
I can hear people saying, oh, well, there's nothing I can do. You know, God doesn't need you. God doesn't need me. He's got you guys, and he's got people all over the world. But he's still calling out, saying,
Amen.
I need helpers because the harvest is great.
You're chosen.
And that's what he said to Moses. You know, it was a chosen one.
Right.
Well, I can sit here and say that even me, and it, sitting here in Indiana, I am a chosen one.
Amen.
You're chosen.
Amen.
Nathan.
Yeah.
We're all chosen of God to do the work that he has for us because one person just can't. You can't do it all.
Oh, no.
So you have people that are behind you. Moses had to have people help him.
Right.
And it's just, that's the way it is that God needs us today now more than ever because of the way that, you know, how bad things are getting and how, you know, financially, personally, you know, our health and whatever, you know, the devil's trying to take us all down.
Right.
God has a plan for us to be prosperous and he will provide for us. And it's amazing to me. Where Moses was living and how God made him who he was. A little kid pulled out of the river led the Israelites out of Egypt. It still boggles my mind that something that small could become something that mighty.
Well, and our mistakes, our sin, our issues that happen to us can and will be turned around by God, and God will get glory from those. And if you're just now joining us, write down somewhere Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called Amen. According to his purpose. And that verse really works right here in Exodus 2, because Moses grows up, he's been in the palace almost 40 years, and he has been told at some point that he really is a Hebrew. So he knows it. And we don't know how that all transpired, but he knew it. And one day, this is verse 11 of Exodus 2, he goes out to where there's an Egyptian and a Hebrew, and he sees there a fight. And, you know, instead of just trying to peacefully settle this fight, Moses kills, we're talking about murder here, kills the Egyptian and buries him in the sand because of what this Egyptian was doing to the Hebrew. OK, Okay. And so that Hebrew must have told people, because the next day, you know, Moses thinks, okay, nobody knows this, you know, it's quiet. The next day he goes out there again and two Hebrews are fighting, and he speaks to one of them who started it, and he says, why are you hitting your neighbor? And this man says, who do you think you are telling us what to do? Are you going to kill me the way you killed the Egyptian? And immediately Moses knows right there, he panics, and he knows that word got out, and the people know about the fact that he had murdered the Egyptian the day before. Now, some of you may be saying, well, God can't use Moses now. He's done. He's finished. He's a murderer. God can't use him. It's all over. Some of you out there in radio land may be feeling that God can't use you. Maybe you're not a murderer, but maybe you've done some things that you just know God could never use you, because that's, you've just stepped over the line with God. Well, isn't it good to know that even when we've done the worst possible things, God still has a plan? Betty, I love this, don't you? God was not through with Moses yet. In fact, it was really just phase one had come to an end. The first 40 years of Moses' life ended with this incident, and Moses now was on the run for his life so that nobody would kill him. Because Pharaoh wanted to kill him because of what happened. He was so mad. But go ahead.
I think that, I just lost my train of thought, is that Moses is human.
Yeah, he's human. Absolutely.
He's human.
Just like our listeners,
and
just like you and me.
Yes, yeah, just like he was human.
Yeah.
He was going to make mistakes.
Right.
We make mistakes.
Absolutely.
But we're forgiven.
We are forgiven.
And,
yep.
But, you know, God had the plan.
Mm-hmm.
And God knew. It's like, I could just see him shaking his head. It's like, oh, dear. And then goes off, and, you know, I'm sure Moses back then said, oh, God, what have I done? When he panicked, I think it scared him. Word's gotten out. Now what's going to happen? People know about this, and it was time. He knew he had to remove himself.
Right.
He had to pull out where he was, and
And sometimes we do have to shift.
To. Yeah.
There are our circumstances cause us to shift, you know,
yeah.
and go to a different phase of our lives. It happened to me in 91 when God called me to leave Indiana and come to Florida. And I thought that what God had in store for me was to continue the mission work I was doing in Central America. I did do that for a period of time. But then God took me into real estate and totally changed my life in so many ways. And it's kind of like that season for me is like what happened to Moses, in that Moses now goes through a season where he is out in the wilderness, not in the wilderness, he's out on the desert. In fact, it says that God took him to the backside of the desert. I kind of think that might have been not the pretty side. Is there a pretty side to a desert? I don't know. But maybe the hotter side, or the side that was less pleasing or pretty. I don't know. But God took him away. But God still had not forgotten him, had he, Betty? Never forgot him.
No, never, never.
Woo!
No, I think he's, when you speak of deserts, I think a lot of times, I think we talked when we first got back in contact with one another, is that we had both went through a desert.
Yes, yes.
And it was not a pretty desert.
Right.
It was kind of dry and very desolate,
mm-hmm.
And sometimes we have to go through those places.
Yes, we do.
Because that makes us want to draw closer to him and give our total life, give a total surrender moment to him.
Amen.
And I think when he took Moses to that darker side of the desert, or to the
backside.
More, the backside, yeah.
Yeah.
It was desolate. It was desolate. And
probably,
I think
it
gave him, it gave Moses an opportunity to think, to trust, to pray. Now, this is just my opinion. You know, I'm sure it's not written anywhere, but it's, I think it gave him a time of reflection.
Yes.
It gave him a time to understand what God wanted him to do. Kind of like the burning bush thing,
mm-hmm.
You know, maybe him and God had a personal conversation.
Yes.
like he did, you know, on the mount. I mean, there's so many things that Moses did that God was so prevalent in his life, and he wanted him to know that he was prevalent in his life so that he would continue on doing what he wanted him to do.
Does Amen.
That make sense?
It does, and it's right on with what happened, and he goes to the land of Midian, which we're going to talk about after this song. This song is a group called December Radio. That's the name of the group, and the song is Find You Waiting.
I've heard the angels, and I've seen the devil fall with the lion and step through the fire. I've been in the valley when it was dry. Walk through the desert to the other side. I'm not a preacher, and I'm not a hero. My life has never been that kind. But there is one thing that I hold on to. I am yours, and Lord, you are mine. Of it all, and Lord, I'm reminded that when I was weary, you carried me. Yes, you carried me through all these years. You have been there and dried all my tears and answered my prayers. I just want to feel your presence again. I'm down on my knees in need of a friend, and I'll find you waiting there, and in the midst of a struggle, there is one thing I know, yes it is.
Uh-oh. Love that. Woo! Through it all, he is always there. Don't you like that song, Betty? And that couldn't have been more perfect with what we were just talking about on the desert, could it?
Oh, no. I tell you, it just, you know, how the Holy Spirit just works these things out. It's like, you know. Here it comes, we're talking about the desert, and it's like through the desert, and it's like, whoa, thank you, Lord.
I know, it. That's a disc I just felt awesome. Like using, but I didn't know, have any idea it was going to end up right there. Perfect. Only God can do that. We've seen him do that with the music for years, and I just thank him. I just am so in awe of what he does as we're talking. Moses went and ran for his life, and he ran to the desert. He went to a land of Midian. The word Midian actually means strife. That's where he went. He went and he sat down by a well, and it's not a coincidence that the priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came up to the well as Moses sits down. That's God's timing. Dear one, God has perfect timing. As we start a new year right now, God has perfect timing. Write that down if you have someplace to write it. God's timing is always perfect. He knows what he's doing. And Moses sits down, and here comes these girls. And some shepherds came up and tried to chase the girls off. But Moses came to their rescue, and he helped them water their sheep. Boy, that what does that say? That just shows his character right there. He's not so depressed and so having such a terrible pity party that he can't come to the rescue of these young women who need his help. And so when these girls get home, this is verse 18 of Exodus 2, they tell their father, his name is Reuel, and they said, and he said to them, boy, you weren't gone very long. What happened? How'd you get back so soon? Because that's a big job to water, you know, all the, you know, the sheep and fill the troughs and all of that. And they said, well, an Egyptian. See, Moses even looked like an Egyptian. Was he really? No, he was really a Hebrew, but he still looked like an Egyptian. You know, sometimes we can look like something, but we're really something else. You know what I'm saying, Betty, there? Mm.
Yeah, it's not always what you see on the exterior.
That's right.
That makes up a person. it's amazing to me how God can take someone like Moses, makes him a helper of people.
Mm-hmm.
He was willing to, I don't want to say risk his life, but, you know, one man against shepherds.
Right.
He had to be in God's favor.
Yes. Yes.
Right then and there. It's like he helped those women, and God knew he was going to help them. I mean, it was his plan.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody noticed that he helped them. He helped his daughters, and, you know, bring him, where's he at? Bring him in.
Right.
Right. He's going to be rewarded for his efforts and his help that he gave those ladies.
Exactly. Yes. And so there it happens, and Moses is brought in and eventually becomes a part of the family and marries one of those seven girls. And the one he married was Zipporah. I like to call her Zippy, but that's who it is, Zipporah. I just think that's a cuter name for her.
That's Zippy.
Zippy, you know, yeah.
Zippy, I like that. That's a good way to remember that.
And her name meant bird, you know, so kind of funny too. My dad always told everybody that he was the son of a bird because his mother's maiden name was Bird. So anyway, Zippy's name actually meant bird. And Moses married Zippy, and they had two sons. And the first one, the Hebrews, what they named people was so significant. Just like we talked earlier in the show, that the angel said, Mary, you're going to name this baby Jesus. There's no other name. You can't name him anything else, because that meant Jehovah is our salvation. And his name also meant five things. And if you didn't get these earlier in the show, write them down now. The first one, Jesus means salvation. The second meaning of his name is deliverance. The third is safety. The fourth is helper. And the fifth is prosperer. So that's what his name means. When you call on the name of Jesus, you're calling on all aspects of that name. One more time, salvation, deliverance, safety, helper, prosperer. Now, Moses named his first child, that he and Zippy had, they named him Gershom, and it meant I'm a sojourner in a foreign country. Okay, Moses did not feel that this was his homeland. He was there for a period of time. That word Gershom, his first son, means sojourner. Eventually, he has another son, and this time he names the second son Eliezer, and it meant the God of my father has been my help. So he began to really understand God through those years in the desert. And, you know, Betty, we can't begin to talk enough about how God does not ever leave us or forsake us. And he never left Moses at all, did he?
No, never. Never. I think it becomes apparent what Moses, or what God did for Moses, is that there were so many things that went on during that time span that the more you read, the more you realize that God never left him.
Exactly.
The same way applies to us, is that the more you read, the more you get into God's word, the more you feel the presence of the Lord, power of his Holy Spirit, the more you read, the more you can draw closer to him.
Amen.
And it's so apparent that Moses was one of God's chosen people.
Amen.
Because he was given a huge task.
Yes.
And he knew that he couldn't do it without God's help.
Ah.
And God knew, just like he has you, Pastor, he has you in the right place. You know, and, you know, there's a season there, there's a season here, there's a season there. Well, for that season, Moses was doing what God wanted him to do.
Amen.
And I don't know if he balked at times. I don't know whether his faith wavered. I think at times it did, you know, as you get further into Exodus. But Moses had to trust him explicitly, because facing what he was facing in the next few years ahead could be mind-boggling, and you would want to be like an ostrich and bury your head in the sand. If I was told to do that, it's like, what? You want me to do what?
Right.
And I think that's what we do today. It's like, you want me to do what?
Yeah.
But that's where our faith and trust comes in, comes knowing him. How his goodness comes out,
right,
of what he has for us.
Amen.
And he shows us his plan almost every day, Pastor, and we ignore it.
And we
don't want to.
I know.
We don't want to hear it. We don't want to hear it. It's like, no, no, no. I don't want to do that. It's just like, I can't go minister to them because, first of all, I'm shy. I don't want to go and minister to people. Well, but you know, the Holy Spirit that lives in you will give you that power.
Amen. Amen.
All you have to do is ask. What we said in the first half, all you have to say is the name Jesus.
Amen.
That's all it takes.
That's all it takes. And, you know, it's also accepting where God has you. And I find it interesting, in the naming of Moses' two sons, and he only has two, to our knowledge, you've got the first one, Sojourner, and he said, I'm a stranger here. Okay, here he is. He's been taken out of the palace, but taken out of the land that, and his environment, his home, the palace that he was familiar with, where he'd been for 40 years, and he has suddenly been a part of a divine shift that has happened, and suddenly now he's out in the desert. I mean, that's a far cry from a palace, Betty. I mean, where everybody's waiting on you, and, you know, you got a hot tub and, you know, a pool and who knows what all you got there, you know, tennis courts and everything at the palace. And now you're in the desert, living in a tent, you have nothing to your name. You have nothing whatsoever. Some of our listeners may be experiencing that right now in their lives. What is so interesting here is, by the time he names his second son, he calls him Eliezer, the God of my father has been my help. So now there is a period of time, and we know that the first 40, there's three sections of Moses' life. 1 through 40 are spent in the palace. 40 through 80 are spent in the desert. 40 years Moses is there. He learns that God has become his help, okay? He develops that relationship with God. And it's very interesting, starting with about age 80, then for the next 40 years is when Moses does all the amazing things he does that we're going to be talking about next week. But we'll maybe talk about that a little bit right now, but let's finish up Exodus 2 before we go to this next song. Verse 23, many years later, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned under their slavery and they cried out. Their cries for relief from their hard labor ascended to God. I love verse 24 and 25 of Exodus 2. And if you have your Bible, you need to mark them. I love it in the Message Bible. It says this, God listened to their groanings. Okay, so I want you to write that down. If you have a pen, God listened. Okay, how does that apply to you? God hears you. Okay, God hears you. And the second one, God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God remembered. He listened. He remembered. Okay. The third one, God saw what was going on with Israel. He understands the pain that you're going through right now, dear listener. And the last one, God understood. God listened. He remembered what he promised. He saw what was going on, and he understood that it was time for a divine shift. Talk to me about that, Betty, before we go to this next song. God is so amazing. So amazing.
Oh, he is. And it just a revelation just came to me is that sometimes when we think we're living in a palace, and we are, the homes that we have it over our head, but yet we think we're living in a desert.
Mm-hmm.
And it all boils down to is giving thanks.
Amen.
What we've been doing is praising God for what we have, bringing us out of where we've been. It's like a total surrender. They did it in the New Testament when Jesus called up to the disciples and said, "Follow me."
Amen.
And that's what I think God did with Moses is that, he showed them what it was like living in a palace.
Yeah.
But living in the desert was with God.
Oof, yeah.
And how much greater, maybe he didn't have all of the amenities that a palace would have, but he had at his discretion and his calling, he had God who heard, he listened to him.
Mm-hmm.
He remembered.
Yeah.
And he understood what Moses was going through.
Wow.
And I think that in that season, in that time, in this 40 years in the palace, we can get so caught up in the, look at my new couch, or look at my new this.
Mm-hmm.
But then when God says, Betty or Marcia, my dear ones, follow me.
Right.
And great is your reward.
Oh, yeah.
And you leave all of those things behind because you want to follow and do God's plan and what God wants for your life.
Absolutely. And you were there on October 30th of 1991 when I got up in front of the church and cried my way through telling that God was leading me out of the church that I had started, that I had pastored for 7 years to the day. And, it was still continues to be one of the most painful, difficult moments in my life, Betty. To leave all of you at the time I thought my children were coming at the end of the semester to Florida. As it turned out, that all changed. But it was so painful to even load up furniture and put it in a truck and move out of my home that I'd lived in 17 years and leave behind all of you, leave behind what I had grown accustomed to as pastor of that ministry, and still extremely hard, but it was a season, and then I moved into another season, then another, etc. And Moses' life is the same. We see as we start Exodus 3 that he's a shepherd. I mean, really, you go from being the prince of Egypt to a shepherd on the backside of the desert. But like David, that was going to come a few years later, many years later, Moses went through that same job, that same vocation, a shepherd. And, here's Jesus in John 10 saying, "I am the good shepherd." That's one of his names. I am the good shepherd, And a shepherd is somebody who takes care of sheep. And Moses and David literally took care of sheep, okay? But at those times out there in the desert, they learned to hear God's voice. Just like the shepherds, where the angels announced the birth of Jesus in Luke 2 that we talked about last week. Here we have shepherds again, and Moses is one of them. Betty, talk to me about that before we do this song.
Well, there isn't a whole lot to say, Pastor. We have Moses moments.
Yep.
Is that I lived in Anderson for X amount of years, moved again. And in each one of those moves, as Moses did, is that it gives you a new perspective.
Mm-hmm. It does.
It enlightens you. It's hard. It's hard, and I know it was hard. It was hard for me to see you leave, and I knew you were leaving.
Yeah.
And I knew I had to leave Anderson. I had to leave my mom, my friends, my church. But God had something different planned for me, you know. He had people, he had new people that, you know, we ministered to, people that were a plan that I had no idea what was ahead, but God did.
Amen.
And that's what he did with you, and that's what he does for our listeners.
Yes.
But we obeyed.
Amen. That's it right there.
We obeyed.
We obeyed. Because God's plan is the best plan.
Mm.
And now, how great is our God, Chris Tomlin.
The splendor of a king, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide. It trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great.
Praise God. Continues to be one of my favorite songs, Betty. Oh, I love that song. And how great is our God? God had a plan. He set about to fulfill his plan. And when things didn't look good for God's people, or for that little baby born to Jochebed and her husband, still God's plan prevailed. When Moses did an unthinkable act, and murdered an Egyptian, became a murderer, and had to leave Egypt and leave phase one or season one of his life behind, the first 40 years where he had been prince in the palace. And now he is a shepherd, the lowliest of the low, out on the desert and in a foreign land. Yet, during those 40 years, God worked on his heart and molded his character. Talk to me, Betty.
I think it made Moses become a true man of God.
Amen.
He followed him. He did what he was told to do. I'm sure he became frustrated at times, but he never gave up on God. He never wanted to disappoint him, God. He, being in a desolate place, makes you reach out mm-hmm. and trust God more
exactly.
than you ever would have before if you'd
right.
lived in a palace for 40 years.
Right.
It makes you more dependent on God. It makes you be more aware of what God wants for you. It makes you spend time with God, because what else have you got to do if you're in a desert?
Exactly.
And it's just like with us when we were in a desert place for a time, is that that's when we probably turned our back on God. Moses didn't.
Mm-mm. No.
I know I did. I turned my back on God for a while and, you know, tried to go my own way. And, you know, he's trying to get my attention, and I ignored it.
He always gets our attention.
Yeah, he does. And no matter where we are, no matter what we've done, he's saying, hey, Betty Lou,
mm-hmm.
Betty Lou, Marcia,
mm-hmm.
Marcia, listen to me.
Yeah.
And, we get that through our prayer. We get that through the word. We could get that through the word of a prophetic word. But God is, how great is our God, Pastor? How great is our God that, you know, he's there for us whenever we need him, whenever
Amen.
We call on him. It's just, it's mind-boggling at times to think about what God has done for me. It just lets you know that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world.
Oh, amen. Amen.
It's just, it's wonderful. And I wouldn't want it any other way.
Amen. Amen. And so, you know, here we are. Here we are in a situation Moses is, where he is sitting there. And he's spending all these years with God. And I really think, Betty, he probably wondered if God was done with him. I know that when I was in my 9 years of whatever that was, that season, I did not really think God was ever going to use me again. I didn't turn my back on God. I still loved him. But I thought that evidently my years of ministry were over. And yet, actually, they were going to become bigger and more, reaching more people than ever before. And I didn't even realize that. And I think maybe some of our audience feels that God can't use them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you feel alone.
You right.
feel like that you've been neglected. You feel like that, what good am I?
Right.
Who could use me?
Yes.
I'm just a lonely little soul sitting here listening to the radio thinking, you know, God can't use me.
Mm-hmm.
Give him a try. I've encouraged people over the years, just give God
Amen.
A chance.
Give him a
give
chance.
Give him an opportunity to show you what he can do. And it may not be raising someone from the dead. It may not be so much as handing out food to the homeless.
Right.
It could be giving a word of encouragement to
yes.
a friend who's lost their spouse or a child. Something just that minute puts the biggest smile on God's face.
Amen.
When one of his kids does something so small as to work in the children's ministry, work in the nursery, clean the toilets at church, vacuum the carpets at church, or go and help someone who can't get out of bed, sing them a song, pray for them.
Amen.
Those are the things that God can use. You don't have to be a builder. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a teacher.
Right.
It's miraculous to be one of those things, you could be a prophet, just like Nan. She's, you know, she writes poems.
Yeah.
But they're encouraging enough that it Amen. Encourages the body of Christ. So you can see how, you know, I'm just a lonely little horse rancher in Indiana and thinking that God can't use me, but... Yes, he does.
But he does, and he does you
regularly.
Amen.
Regularly, and I love it.
Yes.
So the more you get into it, the more
you're going to love.
You were talking about distant things that you didn't think that. After I got out of the children's ministry, I thought I was just done. I mean,
yeah.
I thought there was no other way.
Mm-hmm.
There is a way.
Yes.
God's plan. God's way.
So you would say, Betty, to our audience today, some who maybe feel like, let's say, they feel like Moses did when. He made that huge mistake and murdered the Egyptian. Maybe somebody out there is so full of condemnation and beating themselves up that they don't think they can ever be of use to God. And God would remind you, you are chosen of him. He's got a plan for your life, and his plan is the best plan. And yet Moses sat for a while. You know, he sat. He just went about his daily routine, and he took care of the sheep. And he began to develop a very deep relationship with God of trust. And maybe that's the season you're in out there right now. Maybe God is developing that level of trust in you. And you do that. It develops through muscles and hard work. It's just like going to the gym and working out and getting your strength so that if you need to lift up something heavy sometime, your muscle has been built up. So when you're in those times where you feel like you're out in the desert, God may be allowing some of those trials and tests that you are going through to develop your spiritual muscles so that you'll learn to trust him, so that you'll learn to build faith, allow faith to grow in you. And, you know, Betty, there's just so much more. I can't believe we're almost, the show is almost over. There's so much truth here, and we'll have to continue it next Sunday. But, you know, just for our audience members out there that are discouraged today, what would you say is some final words to them?
Well, you mentioned the word trust, and I hold off on reading anything, but I think that some of their listeners need to hear this. This is from my favorite book, Jesus Calling Besides mm-hmm. the Bible.
Right.
For today is, I want you to learn a new habit. Try saying, I trust you, Jesus,
mm-hmm.
in response to whatever happens to you. If there is time, think about who I am in all my power and glory. Ponder also the depth and breadth of my love for you. This simple practice will help you see me in every situation, mm-hmm. acknowledging my sovereign control. When you view events from this perspective through the light of my universal presence, fear loses its grip on you.
Amen.
Adverse circumstances become growth opportunities when you affirm your, again, trust in me no matter what. You receive blessings gratefully, realizing they flow directly from my hand of grace. Your continual assertion of trusting me will strengthen our relationship and keep you close to me.
Wow. Boy, that's good. January 4th, devotional Jesus entry in Jesus Calling by Sarah Young. Those books are everywhere, Walmart, everywhere. Get one of those, and it'll really bless you.
Thank God.
Let's pray for you out there. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you right now in faith, believing that this radio show today will be heard by countless numbers of people in the future, people that were listening today, and that they will receive the message that you have been speaking through these vessels here on the show. Lord, let our people realize that God has a plan for each one of them, and that his plan is indeed the best plan, and that there's no plan greater than what God has planned for them. And Lord, let the condemnation and the guilt and all of that junk take a back seat to the promises that God has for each of us. And Lord, we enter this new year ready to be the servants, the leaders, the people of God that you have called and ordained us to be. Lord, we declare right now a fresh new anointing on this show and on each of our listeners, that more and more people will know about it and listen, and that they will receive the truths that we have been ministering here. Lord, we just thank you in advance for a great year on living the good life, because it is a good life when we're living with you. And we just ask you bless every listener. In Jesus' name, amen. If you want to re-listen to this show, you can do that. You will be able to do that on our website in a few weeks, or you can do it on the Tan Talk 1340 website. That's www.tantalk1340.com on the Living the Good Life podcast, which will be up there in a few days, and then it'll be transferred to our website later on. But I believe this show is very impactful. There's a lot that God has done here today, and you may need to revisit this, tell a friend about it, and listen to it. And our shows are always dated, so you'll be able to tell which one this is. And so, you know, we invite you, if you're in the Tampa Bay area, Friday nights to the Friday gathering. We don't have a Sunday morning or Wednesday night anymore. We have it all on Friday night, 6:30 p.m. at the Ramada Inn, 3580 Almerton Road in Clearwater. We have this show. We also have our Thursday night Go Yard show, which is a counseling, life coaching show, which will really bless you. Starts at 6:06 p.m., runs till 7 p.m. Nursing home ministry, first Sunday of the month. Anyone's welcome on Friday night. We welcome you. And we are soon going to be doing something possibly with Skype or with GoToMeeting where you can get involved with Friday night if you'd like to do that from a distance. So we've got that in the works. God bless you. Betty, a final word. We just got a couple minutes here, girl.
Yes, Romans chapter 8.
Yes.
Verse 1.
Yes.
There is no condemnation for those who love Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
And I believe that if there's something out there that you just can't seem to get over, send us a prayer request, and the prayer warriors will go to the throne of glory and bring that request to the Lord through God's word. And God is so good to perform his word because God is good.
Amen. He so is. Woo! And it's just a joy to be with you, Betty and Nathan and all of our radio team at Beacon of Hope. And if you want to talk to us personally, Pastor, that's my email, pastor@bohmglobal.com. If you can plant a financial seed into this ministry, that would be wonderful and sustain this radio ministry. We are now in our almost ending our eighth year, so 400 and some shows, and God has always provided. If you want to plant your finances in good soil, do that. Go to our website, www.bohmglobal.com. Go to donations at the bottom of the page. Hit PayPal. It's safe and a good way to do it. So we invite you to become involved in the finances of the ministry. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. Betty, it's been great. It's been wonderful. Have you enjoyed it,
love
Betty?
You, Pastor.
Oh, love you
it.
Too.
Absolutely love it. Love giving praise and glory to our Heavenly Father.
Amen. It's not far to Jesus. This has been Pastor Marcia, Nathan, and Betty sharing the Word of God with you this day on Living the Good Life. Have a good week. Tune in next week, 3 o'clock. And that's Tampa time, 3 o'clock Tampa time. And also, it's on the internet, www.tantalk1340.com. Tell a friend. We'll see you next week. God bless you.
Close your eyes and he will lead you safely to his side. There's no need for you.
City, Tampa Bay.